Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My friends, today we're unpacking an age-old question. Every religion has faced this question, and it's this. Is God loving, or is God just? Which one? Loving, or is God just? Now, I have to think that as Abraham was walking up to the mountain that is described in our reading, that he was thinking about these questions. At the end of Genesis chapter 21, we know that he's in a place called Beersheba. And in our text, in verse 2, we learn about the place where he's going, where God has asked him to go. The region of Moriah, a mountain. We know the distance between these two places, Beersheba and Moriah, to be somewhere around 45 miles in distance. That'd be like walking from here down to Eugene. In Abraham's day, that would have taken about 3 days. A lot of time to think, a lot of time to process. And I do think he was asking those two questions. Is God a loving God? God had asked Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son, his beloved son, Isaac. How could a loving God ask such a thing? If God was loving, you'd expect God to maybe encounter Abraham on the way and change his mind and say, you can turn around and go back to Beersheba and go on with life. If God was loving, God might say, you know, I was just kidding, and you don't need to follow through with this act. But you see, in that scenario that I just mentioned, God wouldn't be just. A just God follows through on his requests and what he requires. Some people today, maybe a neighbor, maybe even you yourself, hold on to the fact that God is loving, but may not really hold on to the fact that God is just. God just loves. He doesn't really require things to follow through as he has said. Now, on the other hand, I think that Abraham was also thinking about that other question, which is God just? In other words, will God follow through on what he requires when he asks something from someone? Up to this point, you see, God had followed through on every word and every promise with Abraham. Let's just review here for a moment those promises and how God followed through. In Genesis 12, God promised Abraham that he would be blessed and a great nation. Check. God followed through. In Genesis chapter 15, God promised Abraham that he would be his protection and shield and reward. Check. God followed through. In Genesis chapter 17, God promised Abraham that he would have a son in his old age. Check, Isaac had come. God followed through every single time. Now, Abraham, on the other hand, had not followed through completely. Abraham had not trusted the Lord completely. In moments, he tried to fix the situation, like with his wife Sarah, saying that she wasn't his wife. He didn't trust exactly. So, if God is just, you would expect God to stay with this requirement to have Isaac sacrifice. If God was just, you'd think that God would be appeased with the death of Isaac. But in those two scenarios, God wouldn't be loving. How harsh would it be to require a child to die in this way? So there's Abraham going up the mountain. Is God loving? Or is God just? And we know in this text how this ends. An angel appears, and the angel points out a ram that has been trapped, and the ram can be offered up as sacrifice. My friends, do you know what this is really talking about? This is the only outcome in which God can be seen as both loving and just. God is loving because Isaac's life is spared. But God is just because he does follow through with his requirement for a sacrifice to take place. Abraham coming down the mountain lived, wow, with, this is a big statement, his God was both loving and just, completely balanced. Now to get to that point, To get to a point where understanding that God is both loving and just, it took Abraham really having to do two things that were extraordinarily difficult. Number one, Abraham had to empty himself completely. Empty himself of everything. Everything. See, during Abraham's time, a firstborn son meant everything. It was your stock portfolio. It was all your possessions. In this time, when a patriarch died, the firstborn son received all the land. It wasn't split up into thirds or fourths and split up between the sons and the daughters. The firstborn son got everything. The reason for this was because that firstborn son could then manage the land and then share the proceeds. But the real reason behind it was so that the family's name could be great generation after generation. The land couldn't be split up and lost after 30 or 40 years. The family name still became great. Now, Isaac was Abraham's not just firstborn son, but only son. Isaac was the link to all the promises that God had given to Abraham. Isaac was the link for Abraham being blessed. Isaac was the link for his name being great. Isaac was the link to Abraham having multiple descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Abraham, you see, when he sacrificed and took his son Isaac up, was willing to give up everything. Again, this would be like your stock portfolio, your house, your home, your possessions, your entire family. Giving everything up, being empty. That's tough. To get to the point of understanding a loving and trusting, a loving but just God, Abraham did a second thing. He understood that God would provide. Hebrew names are really important in the Bible because behind those names, it's not just a name, there's meaning behind those names. And so when you hear this region, Moriah, what do you think the name of Moriah means in Hebrew? Now you and I, if we were coming up with a name, we'd probably settle with something like this, the place of obedience. This is where Abraham followed through with bringing his son up to the mountain. You and I would come up with a name like this, the place of the angel. An angel did appear here, or you and I might say this is the place of struggle. This was a mighty difficult time in this text. But you know what Moriah means in Hebrew? It means this. God will provide. And Abraham knew that. And God did provide. But where is Moriah? You can actually find it today. It's located actually just a few miles outside of the city of Jerusalem, a hilly place. In fact, there's a place called Mount Moriah. You know, it might even be the place where Jesus went, where Jesus took his cross out to Calvary on a hill. And you see, my friends, this story is really foreshadowing Jesus. Because God did provide for you. And you know what that means? That means this story isn't just about Abraham knowing that there's a loving and just God. It's about you knowing that you have a loving and just God. God gave his only son. God is loving because he didn't require your death to pay for your sins. And God is just because he did follow through with the sacrifice required for sins, but the sacrifice was not a ram. The sacrifice was his son, Jesus. And the feeling of Abraham, knowing that he had a loving and just God coming down from the mountain, is a feeling that each one of us can have. How awesome it is to know the kind of God that we have. No other God in the world is both loving and just. All other religions either have a loving God or a just God, but not loving and just. And that is the God you have. But can we follow Abraham's example and do those two things? can we be, first of all, empty? Empty of everything. Remember how tough it was for Abraham? Can we do that? I remember growing up in the Lutheran church and hearing some strange phrases that I would come home and ask my parents, what did we just say? And one of those phrases was this. It was in the confession. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. You may recall, or you may still say these words, I don't know. But I remember saying those as a youth in the Lutheran church, thinking, wow, that's kind of dire and scary. And then I talked to my friends who went to different churches, and they would come and say, wow, we had some happy songs at church last Sunday. And I'd say, why am I going to that church? Here's why. Those words are nothing more than saying, I'm empty. I'm empty, Lord. Fill me. When we're empty, like Abraham, offering up everything, God fills us with his love and mercy. When we come to the Lord full and filled with everything, God can't have his way with us. It's when we're empty, hands empty, that he fills us up. It also takes us to the point in which we count on God to provide. And God has provided for you, my friends. He has given his one and only son. God had everything, and God loved his son Jesus. As it said on the Mount of Transfiguration last Sunday, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased, and God gave him up so that he could bring you into his kingdom. God has already provided that for you. But every day we can count on God to provide. The story came out a couple of years of a German man, an elderly man, who just lived simply, lived about a mile or two outside of the village, and he would walk every day to get his bread and the few items that he would have, and he would just get by in life. His children, who were, well, more adapted to the modern world, thought that it would be good to buy him a refrigerator. Dad needs a refrigerator so that he can make life easier. So they bought him a refrigerator and had it delivered to his home outside this German village. The story's told that the kids, when they showed up to see their father and see this new appliance, were shocked by what they discovered. The refrigerator was outside the house, on its side, filled with dirt and used as a flower box. Why would you do this, Dad? Why would you do such a thing? And the old man said, I really like walking every day to the village to see how God is going to provide for me for what I need for each day. My friends, what a powerful example. Counting on God, and you can do that every day. If you wake up every day empty, and then count the simple things in which God provides. Those two things, waking up empty every day, counting on God to provide, are going to be tough for you. Why? Because the world has the opposite message. The world says this: if you are empty, you're weak. Fill yourself up with all the material things around you, then you'll be strong. The world says, don't count on others to provide for you, provide for yourself. My friends, that is not a healthy way to live. Abraham's way is the best way to live. Empty, counting on God to provide. It's at that moment where we live in those two strange ways that we discover a God who is both loving and just. There's our answer to the age-old question. You have a God that is both loving and just. Amen.